Buongiorno everybody and welcome. Thank you for taking the time to come here and spend a good 59 minutes and 47, 46, 45 seconds talking about identity. Identity and specifically how to secure your business, let me stress, business applications when you are targeting the cloud. My name is Vittorio Bertocci, and as you can hear from my accent, I'm clearly native of this area. No, I'm not native, but I've been spending a good almost 7 years here, so slowly, slowly. And I work in the identity team, in the Windows Azure Active Directory team, and I take care of developer experience. So a lot of the things that I'll be showing here, I had my paw in it, but of course, vast part of the job was done by the actual engineers. So, I had another warning that I wanted to give you, but I forgot. Yes, we already told you about the fact that this is business. If you are searching for consumer identities, that's not here. This one is purely business. So I'll give you a moment for heading for the door if you're not interested. 3, 2, 1. Okay, you're trapped. And the other one will come to mind. So. Never mind. Okay, if I dare to compress our mission, our what we are trying to achieve in one statement, that would be this. We want to enable to use a directory, no matter which kind of organization you are, or no matter which kind of organization your customer is. Here is the thing. Directories are awesome. When you are targeting business workloads, directories are the best. However, the moment in which you start targeting the cloud, there are things that are intrinsic in using directory on-premise, which makes it hard to take advantage of those when you are in the cloud. And we looked at some of the challenges that come with that work, and we just had to solve it simply because we have a huge, huge set of cloud services ourselves, Office 365. And so in order to enable those applications, we just had to find a solution. And this solution turns out to be generic enough that you can also take advantage of that in your parts. And that said, let's just drop out of Outlook right away. So let's do a bit of a problem statement. Let's get rid of these. Let's see. Okay, this doesn't start well. Let's say that you keep your users in your directory. Even if that's not entirely true, never mind. We'll talk in a moment in the case in which you do not have a directory. Say that you have all your users in there. And say that here you have this very artistic cloud banner. Very artistic because of all the presentation, doing this banner took me probably the most time. I have OCD. In fact, I hate this jacket here. And so if things are not precise, I just go crazy. Think my wife how happy she is of living with me. But I digress. So let's say that you are an organization and you put an eye on a great, great cloud service that you'd like to use instead of deploying something on your premises. Say that something like an expense note or HR management, anything that is a part of running your business. And of course, you would like to be able to take advantage of your existing investment in where you are keeping users. And now, the interesting thing is, if you just wanted to authenticate, we already solved the problem. We solved the problem because thanks to the magic of federation, we can take users and hurl them out thanks to the fact that we use standard protocols. And as long as that vendor supports some kind of federation, then there is a way of connecting. Now, one might argue there should be an easier way of doing that because I don't know how many of you guys worked in this space before federation arose. It was very difficult to negotiate all the details. So federation was a huge step forward. However, there's still quite a lot of work. Let's say that in order to use your directory, you have to describe it in the right way. This guy has to support the same protocol. You need to, there is some work involved. But that's not all. Once the user is in there, great, I know everything about my user, everything I need to know because I got the claims. However, I still don't know about the other users in that directory. Like one classic question that I got in the last 5 years when I was positioning Federation as the best thing after sliced bread, which I believe, by the way, this is not like an act. But people would always say, okay, fantastic, I know about that user, but if I want to take, say, one document here and assign it to a colleague of that guy, how do I get the list of all the other users? Well, Federation helps you to know about that guy, but not about everybody else. Even things that are close to that user, such as if he's a manager, his reports. If he's a normal employee, his manager, the groups he belongs to. Like things that I might not have explicitly baked into the token, because you can't every time send a token which contains your entire directory, it doesn't scale. But at that point, that application doesn't really know how to deal with that. And as a result, despite the fact that you did this significant investment in your directory, you are forced to do things like every evening upload an Excel file with a list of your users, or similar things that are like, since I'm being recorded, I will say suboptimal. If we do it one-to-one, I'll use another term. Okay, so that's one situation where you would very much like, trust me, to be able to use your directory in the cloud. Now, there is another situation where you would like to do the same, which is when you're actually writing this application. So say that instead of buying an application from a third party, you want to do it yourself. This might be something specific to your business. Say that you work in a big pharma, you want to fold molecules, and so you can't buy that off the plate. You have to build it. However, you want to put it in the cloud because it's something that requires a lot of computational power. You want to have this big crank that you can turn when things actually get tough. And so substantially, you want to target the cloud. You have the same problem. If you want to know what's the list of scientists working on a specific protein, well, you can't do that because there is this thing which substantially prevents you from accessing your directory. So last thing in our positioning of the problem, say that you are actually in the same position as the guy that was trying to sell this application. Say that you are a software developer or a company that sells software, and you want to sell software to other companies. So for example, you are the one who's writing the expense note application. So you might not have a directory on your own. Oops, there is a line that I cannot cross. Otherwise, people will cut my hair. So I'll do. I will reach. Can you still get me? Fantastic. You want to sell these to your customers, and you know that the information you need for running your application is in there. They have the directory in there. But you can't get there because, again, there is the cloud. All the things that traditionally protect your assets from the external world are now preventing the access. And even if you would manage to get the access, like my good friend Clemens Busters would tell you, oh, I have a service bus. I can pierce that thing at any time. However, however, what would happen here is that if you are trying to do a service at scale, perhaps every single time going back to on-premise might not be the best or the most efficient way. Like, don't get me wrong, Service Bus is a fantastic product. I was simply saying that it would not help you to solve this problem at scale. So this is substantially the map of what we are going to talk today. We are first going to talk a bit about the directories. How many of you guys know what is a directory? Almost everybody. Fantastic. For everybody else, I will make the case of why directories are really good for that. Then we'll have an example of what happens when you can buy a service and take advantage of your directory, despite the service being in the cloud. It's going to be how to use Windows Azure using your directory. Then we'll look at how to build your own applications, taking advantage of Windows Azure Active Directory. And then finally, we'll look at how you can build applications that take advantage of other people's directory, again, thanks to Windows Azure Active Directory. I will say directory far too many times. And here, for people that like words, I put it into words, but does that work? Do we have an agreement? Yes. Am I alone in the room? I might very well be. Good. So here, let's start with talk for a moment about directories in themselves and what's so awesome about directories. Now, when you are running something like consumer-based websites, it's actually OK to have a flat table with all your users. Like every time I think of this, I think of that scene in The Matrix in which we are all the people plugged into the system. And all these people are plugged into the, and they are all independent in their own pod. Like when you are a user of a consumer application, typically you land on the application and all you see is yours. And another user lands on the application and he sees his own view, and there is little interaction between the two. However, when you work in a business environment, that's not like that at all, because you work constantly with your colleagues, because you work for a boss, because you are divided in work groups and similar. And so there are a number of relationships between users. And there are a number of considerations in terms of what users can do depending on those relationships, which if you don't record them in the structure of where you keep your users, well, you'll have to reinvent it every single time you write an application. And that just doesn't work. So taking a step back, a directory is a specialized store which is used for holding users, but also other assets. And typically, it has two ways of interacting with it. On one side, it offers a way for you to authenticate users. Like this thing holds information about your users. Let me see which one I need here. So you'll have your credentials stored somewhere, and there will be standard ways of authenticating. And on the managed side, you will have standard ways of getting stuff in and out and maintain it. And the interesting thing is that since it is a fairly standard, let's say that there is a common practice, there is a huge ecosystem of tools that are actually based on those protocols. The interesting thing that is not just protocols, it might also be purely practices in which you know that with a directory you can do certain operations. And so tools substantially allow the administrators to do that. How many of you guys are developers? Fantastic. I'm assuming that all of you are developers. So I apologize for the ones who aren't. So let's see in practice what that means to record users and relationships. So here I have my set of users. And now here I can do things like expressing that all these users are a member of the same group. Now here I could have just made a little circle around those guys for expressing the fact that they are in a group, but I purposefully chose to use a graph, because that's a very powerful way of representing relationships. And also there are other relationships that are naturally represented as graph, like for example, direct reports. You might have people accruing to a specific manager. And directories naturally help you to represent users this way. And interestingly enough, as you run your business, you can actually append things to this structure. So say that this dude in the middle, as a part of his work, created some kind of asset, documents, and similar. And now let's say that this guy, for some reason, maybe he was doing something shady, he's gone from the organization, fired, he leaves, do the narrative that you prefer. Now, this structure helps you to have a natural way of knowing what to do with his asset. This asset can accrue to the group, for example. Say that this guy was a lawyer and there is an internal portal for legal documents. This thing will naturally end up being accessible by all those guys. Or it could accrue to the first manager in the hierarchy chain. So those are all things that if you would be doing a flat file of users, you'd have to think about this yourself. You'd have to inject that intelligence. And instead, with directories, that just happens. That's great. So now the main problem we have is that directories live on premises traditionally. So if you are in the cloud and you want to tap on those capabilities, what can you do? Well, you can buy our fantastic Windows Azure Active Directory. Well, how does that work? What is Windows Azure Active Directory? What is the matrix? Windows Azure Active Directory is a projection of your on-prem directory in the cloud. It is something which substantially takes what you have on premises and make it available in the cloud, both in terms of authentication and in terms of managing and accessing assets. And it does so in a very platform as a service fashion. That's to say that if you think of traditional directories, directories are something which live at the infrastructure level, like it's Kerberos. It's literally the network software that makes your bits go around. But at a higher level, a directory is what I just described. So in creating Windows Azure Active Directory, we didn't carry all the things that you don't need for the workloads that I just described, which is creating a cloud application and accessing the directory. So in here, we created this multi-tenant system, which is very much like the other services that we have in Windows Azure. So let's take a look. Here, you can think of Windows Azure Active Directory as a big multi-tenant container. And here we have this space elevator. How should I call this? It's a service. It's a Windows service that lives on premises. And periodically, it grabs your users, not your credentials, and replicates it in the cloud. So let me deselect this guy. Let me copy it here. And here in our terminology, we like to call this guy tenant. And then the functionalities that you have seen earlier, management and authentication, are now shared, like in every good multi-tenant system. Those things are now available at the service level. And then there is this container where these specific, like Contoso has those settings, but then you might have anybody else having their own. And substantially, those other parts are shared across the various tenants. And as we will see as we go through the various demos, this gives a number of very interesting advantages. Now, how do we actually implement in the context of the cloud this managing and authentication? Well, we have a number of interesting assets. Specifically, here we have a management portal that you can just land on and use it for managing your users. So let me give you a practical example. Active Directory. Actually, let me activate the Zoom for your benefit. I hope that nobody suffers from seasickness, because I'll do this a lot, even if they told me not to do it, but I just get a kick out of it. I told you I'm weird. So Active Directory Windows Azure.com, you just land in there. And once you get in there, you get prompted for the user of your Active Directory, and here I have a number. And then what you get in here is what you would expect from something that you'd use for managing a directory. You can create users, you can subscribe to services, you can make your domain recognized, you can deal with the licenses of the various services that you bought. So all very straightforward. We'll have an opportunity to get deeper in there. The other way in which you have an interface for dealing with these is what we call the Graph API. How many of you guys are familiar with the term LDAP? Oh, fantastic. Oh, wow, so why didn't you tell me? Why did you spend 15 minutes explaining directories and you know everything already?
We like to hear you talk.
Thank you. That's the best lie I heard in the week, because my wife is out. That's why. She's traveling. Anyway, the Graph API is a programmatic way of accessing the directory information, so users, relationship among users, licenses, and similar. Now, why didn't we use LDAP, which is a well-established way of dealing with directories on premises? Well, because LDAP, although venerable and worked well for many, many years, isn't really designed to work in a multi-tenant environment where you might have to access that information from any platform, any device, any programming stack. Like LDAP just has specific requirements, like it's a pretty rich protocol, as it is typical of software of its era. Whereas the Graph API, as we will see in a moment, is completely REST-based. It's very straightforward to use. All you need to actually take advantage of that is something that is capable of doing HTTP, which you can find pretty much like in your watch nowadays. So substantially, we lowered the bar significantly. There is another reason. And the reason is, like with every multi-tenant system where there is a custodian of other people's information, you have to be very careful about how you deal with access rights. Let's say that, I am an ISV. I want to sell you an application that, in order to function, will have to access your directory. Well, you better manage your access in a very tight fashion. Let's say that, yes, I'll give consent to that application to access my directory, but only to that application. Nobody else is supposed to be able to go there and sweep it. Well, the fact that the Graph API is based in this REST style, I'm embarrassed to say that because there is a Christian Weyer in the back that will, he's a purist of these kind of things, so I'm afraid of saying something wrong. But here the idea is that since we are using these very nice, low requirement system, we can take advantage of OAuth, which every time I pronounce it, people don't understand it, so let me write it. OAuth. See? They usually say, that's what you meant. That's what I meant. Which is actually a very nice system. Like, it's often overused. But at least for this specific context of giving permission to a third party to access your information, that's really a very nice system. And then for what concerns the authentication, and here, watch, because an announcement in disguise is coming. What I have is a list of options that will actually allow you to connect your application with the directory using whatever protocol your workload requires. So specifically, if you're writing a rich client app or if you're writing a server-to-server application, you'll want to hit the auth2 endpoint. And if you wanted to instead create a web application, you can hit our traditional AWS Federation endpoint, but new since this week, we also expose a SAML protocol endpoint. So if you are targeting other platforms where SAML is, often more available in terms of libraries, then you can now connect to our directory using SAML protocol, which is kind of nice. And then we have, of course, our usual metadata endpoint, which you can use for connecting. And the nice thing about this is that all those endpoints are there fixed. So the advantage is that if you have an application which you want to connect, well, substantially, you need to do provisions for connecting this application, for example, through this endpoint. And then it won't matter which tenant you are dealing with. Of course, it will matter. Let's say that you will always want to say with which, like if you want Contoso, Fabric, among others. But from the mechanical perspective, creating all the settings on your app for accepting tokens from the directory will be done once and for all. And as we'll get, if I stop blabbering, to the last scenario in which we'll have the SaaS application case, you'll see that this allows you to sell application to your customer just with a little checkbox. Like in your application, you just include a flow where your user gets prompted saying, hey, would you like to give consent to access your directory. The user says, OK. And then your application is already provisioned to talk with a directory. As opposed to, for example, today, if you want to do this directly with a local premise, well, you have to actually get into the details of our metadata endpoint. You need to retrieve a birth certificate. You need to keep the certificate on, which is still better than from scratch, but is significantly more involved. And especially, you can't do one system for everybody. Every customer would be its own story. Instead, here you can serialize and you can get rich overnight. Or at least that's what they told me. OK, before moving further, I just wanted to mention one other scenario, which is very important here. Say that you don't have an on-premises directory at all, which happens pretty often. Like if you are not a big shop, you might not have like admins in your payroll. Well, what we offer here is a configuration in which, even if you don't have anything at all on premise, Well, we just maintain also the credentials for you, whereas in the other case, we don't replicate the credentials. The authentication is always on-premise. And then at that point, you have a complete solution in the cloud, which means that if you are a reasonably small shop, or especially your customer is a small shop, but they still want to take advantage of directories, as in expressing relationship between users, doing licenses, doing single sign-on, well, now they have a very easy entry point where you can actually take advantage of that without having anything on-premise, which I believe is very cool. Good. Now that we are convinced, I hope, that directories are a pretty good way of dealing with identity for business, let's see one example of what happens when you buy a cloud service which takes advantage of Windows Azure Active Directory. And here, specifically, I'm talking about Windows Azure. How many of you guys are Windows Azure customers? Hey, as a shareholder, hey, thank you. Windows Azure is a great, great service. I love it. I spend most of my time in there. Now, there is one thing which is not just for Windows Azure, but it's pretty common to most cloud services. The way in which you authenticate to it traditionally is using one personal, individual account. You log in there using your Microsoft account, the artist formerly known as Live ID. And that's great, that's fantastic, if that actually expresses your business situation, like you're an individual developing, fantastic, the cloud also enables that. However, if you are a company, then you might be mildly uncomfortable with the idea that somebody is using, like one of your employees, is using his own Live ID account, which you cannot enforce in any shape or fashion, for accessing company assets. Like this guy can, at any time, crank up all the various virtual machines, and then you'd receive an interesting bill at the end of the month. So it's the classic disgruntled employee scenario. Well, Office 365 was the first cloud service in Microsoft which took advantage of Windows Azure Active Directory. However, as a wave, all of our, I can never do absolute statements. Many of our cloud services are actually moving to take advantage of Windows Azure Active Directory for when you are a company, which just makes sense. And Windows Azure is no exception. It's actually at the forefront of this. So now I'd just like to show you a small example of accessing Windows Azure as a company. So what you see here is an example of tenant access to Windows Azure. Here there is this company, identity365.net, which subscribed to Windows Azure as an organization. As a result, now when they access the portal, instead of just landing on the base portal, they have a portal and then they have their tenant. And once they land in there, the authentication is being done by their system. Let's say that their administrator decides how you actually access. So let's see that in practice. When I hit on this link, today I'm Brian Fielder, I'm actually prompted to insert a smart card, which I defended with my life in the last 2 weeks, because if I would lose these, people would really have my hair. But hey, here it is. And if I don't have this smart card, or if my administrator decides that I no longer deserve to use this smart card, then I will not have access. So the moment in which I leave a company, people will be able to deprovision my access instantly. Actually, before it times out, let me do this and then I'll keep blubbering. So here, where is my smart card? And here I will insert my fantastically secure PIN. Let's see who guesses what the PIN was. And slowly, slowly, all the bits get into the cable, and then they move through the covalence bonds from atom to atom. And eventually, ta-da, we get, hey, Brian, we get to the Windows Azure portal. And I did that as local user. Now, the interesting thing is there are various situations, typically like government contracts and similar, where if you can't do this, you are out. If you can't prove that all your access is done through multi-authentication factor, well, you cannot get that business. So now, with Windows Azure, you can, which I believe is great. And here, basically, I just bored you with the same things. Great. So now, let's actually move, finally, to the developer tools. And let's see what happens when you want to create your own application which takes advantage of the same system. So again, think line of business application. I'm writing my own app. I want to deploy it to the cloud for whatever reason. And I want to take advantage of my directory. So I set up my Windows Azure Active Directory. And then let me just open Visual Studio. And let's just do it. How many of you guys saw the announcement yesterday of a new ASP.NET tools? Very few people. Good. So this will come as news. So let me create a new project, MVC application. Oh, I have to give it a name, otherwise David Akin will hit me on the knuckles. Let's say build LOB. And here, which template should I choose? Well, this is a line of business application, so I should probably choose the intranet one, even if I know that it's going to live in a completely different place. Like, logically, that's still my intranet. Now, slowly, slowly, we work through our downloading the 46 nougats that ASP.NET needs. And then if I right-click on here, you will notice that I have a new entry with Enable Windows Azure Authentication. And if I hit on that, I get a dialog which, honestly, I couldn't think of a simpler one, in which I'm just prompted to say what is my Windows Azure tenant, my Windows Azure Active Directory tenant. So since I can't speak while I type, I can barely type even if I don't speak. Let me do it. And then what happens here is that I get prompted for my admin domain credentials for my tenant. Let's see if I remember them. No typos.
Sorry.
Yes, sir. The question is this stuff available today? And the answer is yes. And thank you for reminding me what was the other warning I wanted to give. I wanted to say that I would suggest that to have all the questions at the end. I'm going to be chained to this building between the end of this session and 3:30. So you'll be able to corner me and ask me anything. I will not tell you what my conditioner is, but everything else, I'll tell you. And. But since I have really a lot of stuff and I tend to blubber a lot, I'd suggest that we just get the question after. Thank you. OK, and actually, this gave me a fantastic excuse for waiting some time between the moment in which I did this operation and the moment in which I will hit F5. And I'll explain later why that's important. So again, I didn't write any code. I just ran a funny dialogue. And now, when I hit F5, I get my app automatically configured. And as you can see, now my app, which was an intranet template, is already using Windows Azure Active Directory. So the idea is that we want these to be as close as your on-premise experience as possible. Like in the on-premise experience, you do nothing. You just create your intranet app, and you hit F5, and the ISOs is stuck. That would be the right layer, which takes care of that. Here, we just needed to also say who you are in terms of which domain you want to target, because you might want to target different ones than your local one. And then you have to provide your credentials for actually creating the entry for the application. But that's pretty much it. But that's not over yet. Now, let's say that I actually wanted to publish this thing on Windows Azure. So let me grab a publishing profile. Let me go to settings and make sure that I wipe anything that was in there. So now what I'm going to do is I'm going to take this application and deploy it straight to Windows Azure. Now, traditionally, I'd have to first modify a couple of things on my web config, because this application is going to live somewhere else. So for example, at least the return URL would have to be different. And I would have also to let the authority know that now there is another address which is valid. But in this case, we substantially baked the same capabilities in the publish flow, so that now when I see enable here, the system is actually going to automatically go ahead and substantially make all the modifications on my behalf, so that there will be the Windows Azure entry that will know about the new return URL. There will be my local configuration that will be changed just in time before being provisioned out there, so that it will just work out of the box. So this is the classic case in which your developer knows absolutely nothing about identity. It doesn't want to know anything about identity. And despite that, they are able to take advantage of the directory. So as you can see here, I promise I don't have DNS tricks for, I'm actually hitting Windows Azure, and I didn't have to write any code, which makes me unhappy, because I like to write code. But for normal people, that's instead a plus, or at least so I'm told. Excellent. So that's what I did. So now let's take a very quick look at what happened. Let me grab my, yep. OK, we started with our tenant already in the directory. So we already subscribed to Windows Azure directory. And here we went in Visual Studio. We created our application. Ah, yeah, of course. You always find bugs in production. This one is the graph. Now, what happened is that within Visual Studio, I ran that little tool. And so let me be the developer. So let me change the color to a more developer focus. So here I'm the developer. This one is Visual Studio. Once I grabbed my dialog and I said I want to configure this for this tenant, then I got prompted for using my credentials. I hit by like the tool, hit the OAuth2 endpoint, and obtained back a token, which I can use for calling the graph. Then I called the graph, and what happened is that I substantially created what we call a service principle. A service principle is like a term which is a portmanteau from a traditional directory, and it just means it's an entry which describes a service in your directory. And once I did that, then the tool, let me get rid of some of these extra lines. Then the tool went back and read from the metadata endpoint all the information that is needed for doing a web single sign-on with that application. And as a result, let me get rid of everything, including the developer. What happened is that I got a WIF configuration, WIF, Windows Identity Foundation. How many of you guys are familiar with that? Great. For everybody else, Windows Identity Foundation is the set of classes in the .NET framework that deal with this kind of protocols. That's all the level of detail you need to know at this point. And substantially, this configuration had some coordinates which refer to this service principle. And it also, as a part of that, what happens is that you get in the HTTP pipeline some HTTP module, which will take care of enforcing whatever settings you have in here, which means that now that I have the app, and if I become the end user, standing on the cloud, so. Batman. Sorry, it's stronger than me. Otherwise, I bore myself. OK, so here you have your browser. User hits the application. The module sees that this application is secured using those settings, and then redirects the user to this endpoint. The user, which is, let's say, this guy. So you will recognize it. Authenticates using the credentials, gets back a token, and sends it to the app. And then the application is up that the user is authenticated. Now, there is one, this is what we have seen right now. Now, there is one part which is still very important of this app, and it is how the application in itself accesses the graph. Like VSAP was just single sign-on. Now we actually want VSAP to be able to go and grab the and call the graph so that it can, for example, show a list of users. Now, one thing that I omitted to say is that when you create a service principle, you also create a key associated to it. And as a part of your settings, like the tool doesn't do it for you, but will publish a tutorial that shows how to add to this service principle these credentials, which substantially you save this key also here, and then through OData, your code behind will just use this key for obtaining a token, and once you have this token, you'll just hit the graph. Again, using, oops, too much gym will do that. To others, of course, in my case, clearly. Good luck with that. This token will be used for hitting the graph using classic, again, OData. So you just go to add the reference. There is an address that you want to hit graph directory.net. Slash the name of your tenant. Actually, the exact details are, again, in this tutorial that we published. And then you'll be able to generate the classes that you need for hitting the data endpoint and creating or reading entities. And all you need to do is just to add this token in the authorize header as prescribed by the auth to better token access. So pretty straightforward. In fact, here, now my graph colleagues would kill me if I wouldn't spend a bit more talking about the graph in itself. I apologize for the verbosity, but creating little pictures for this was too complicated. So the graph, as we mentioned, is a REST interface that you can use with OData. So if you are on our platform, it's very easy to automate everything. If you are on other platforms, it's still very easy to hit those endpoints. Also, we have OData libraries for pretty much all the stack that you can think of. And you can actually use auth for actively restricting who can do what for those APIs. And substantially, you can have access to all the things that I'm listing here, users, groups, contacts, which are different from users. Those are people on other directories. Tenant information, licensing, roles, very important. And the other interesting thing is that when you access those entities come with links to the other entities that have a relationship with them. So if you wanted to know who the groups he's a member of or the direct reports of the user that you're dealing with, you literally get a link and you just do a get of that link. So you can percolate through the flow. How many of you guys ever wrote an application for Facebook? Some. Well, this concept will be fairly familiar to you. Like, all the resources are tied by this network of connections, and this format makes it very easy for you to navigate it. And one very interesting thing that we'll see once we land at the end of the session for the very last demo is that among the things that you can do here, you can also do what we call differential queries. So besides reading and writing objects, you can do something to the effect of make a read, and as part of that read, get what we call a cookie. Like, that's actually a cookie. And then next time you do the read, you can bring that cookie with you. And that cookie will tell to the system the status, the snapshot that you got last time. So that if nothing happened in the meanwhile, you're going to get nothing back. Or if just one user was added or deleted, you are going to get only that information. And that's huge, because if you think of, like, again, application that needs to have a list of all the users so that you can do pick, you can assign users to tasks and similar. Well, directories can be pretty big. The bigger the customer, the more the money that you can extract, so good. But you have to be very careful about making the system sustainable. And using this differential query makes it very viable to maintain a copy of all the information that you need in your app without burdening it with too much traffic. Okay, so now let's move to the last scenario, which is also the one with more moving parts. In this case, you might not have your own directory. You are building cloud software. You want to sell it to companies, to organizations. You know that they have a directory, and you'd like to take advantage of that. Now, if they have Windows Azure Active Directory, that's actually pretty straightforward for you. And we'll see that in a moment. And actually, before telling you all that's necessary, I'll just show you the end result. If I have it, yes, luckily I have it. So here there's an app, which we'll see in a moment in terms of content. It's an app which substantially started as the app that I created earlier with enable Windows Azure authentication. And then I had to do a few modifications so that this app can work with multiple tenants instead of just one tenant. And one of the modifications that I did was to enable this flow, which allow your potential customer to actually get provisioned automatically without going through the dance of this is my metadata, this is your metadata, this is my certificate, and similar. And as you'll see, it is like stupidly easy to set up. It's pretty awesome. So if I hit on this register, all I need is like imagine that I am a customer and I already fell in love with the Italian design of this application. I want to buy it. And here, all I went through my buying flow or whatever else the vendor decides is that it should be before I actually gain access. And then all I need to do here is to hit this link. And as you can see here, we'll see that in more details. But this is just a classic link, no server-side magic, which substantially will bring me back to my Active Directory entry. Let's do it. Of course, I have to sign in. And today, I want to be, yes, this one. And substantially, now the system recognized that this application is asking for permission to access my directory. And here it came out wrong because I just went through the flow for provisioning the app, which I'll show you in a moment. And I don't know why it decided that the company is Victoria. So now if you read this, you should only grant permission if you trust Victoria with his access to your organizational data, which sounds like, would you buy a used car from this man? But of course, here you'd have the name of a company. And a small aside, that's a picture of my hometown in Italy. So little teardrop that comes down. But anyway, apart from this color, here there is the interesting part. Like, this part informs, in this case, I'm the administrator of this tenant, of the things that the application would like to do with my directory, which specifically, in this case, is everything. I want to do everything with it. Although I'll just do the read just for showing. And if I decide that I like it, again, how many of you guys have a Facebook account? Surprise. And you will have, you'll be very familiar with this flow in which one application says, I'd like to have access to X. But here the difference is that the access is to your entire organization flow. And so let's say that I do trust this guy. And so I hit grant permission. Then the system does some work. Then bounces me back and says, welcome to the family of users of this application. And now you can actually log on or, for example, since here I have a tab which says users, which happens to be then the one where I'm actually calling the graph, if I click on that, I will trigger the authentication flow. And here, authentication can be done in multiple ways. Like, this is what we call the home realm discovery. Like, at this point, the application doesn't know who I am yet. So it asks me from which organization I'm coming from. And then once I hit OK, the flow will bring me in the right place. I could have made a list of all the possible organizations. You can solve it in any way. So let's hope that, yes, luckily I have it in the buffer. Otherwise, I would have never remembered that string. The demo would have stopped the call there. And since I already authenticated as the admin, now I don't actually need to write anything. And then substantially, I'm hitting the endpoint, getting authenticated, and then I will, hopefully, before the day is gone, come back to my fantastic localhost application. They say that there are no demo gods. I disagree. There are demo gods. Let's say there's something like, there are no demo gods, only unprepared presenters. That's not true. I'm hitting localhost. It happened like every time. There is nothing that would prevent this app from coming back and forth. So, yeah, there are demo gods, and they hate me. So the technique usually is just do the following. Let's do this again. Yes. And this time, I came back, and I'm pretty lonely here. I'm the only user in this tenant. But as you can see, I authenticated, I came back, and it worked with only one little hiccup. OK, so how did this happen? Let's take a very quick look, very quick, because I don't have a whole lot of time left. Application publishing flow. Luckily, this is pretty easy. How do you go from the application that I created earlier, saying enable Windows Azure authentication, to this app, which I can deal with multiple tenants? Well, first thing, you go in our good friend Visual Studio, and you modify the app. There are a couple of things that you might want to do, like, for example, changing the way in which you authenticate people. Now you want to prompt them from the tenant, as opposed to just send them straight to the tenant that you know about. Or you might want to add something for handling that consent flow that I've just shown, which luckily is absolutely trivial. Then you go to the Microsoft Seller dashboard, which you might be familiar with if you ever did anything with Windows Azure Marketplace. And you go there, and you create what we call a secret for your app, a client ID and a secret, so that that app is now registered and recognized. And so when the customer hits on their portal, then they are able to actually grant permission, and then the system will know what to create. And then there is also the flow for publishing your application and making it available. And then finally, you are all set. Now you can just publish your app, and then you will be waiting just for customers to hit you in there. So let's actually do it. Let me close this one, open another one. So here we have our application. Let's just start with going to the seller dashboard. Here you have to register with a seller dashboard, but in a couple of days they usually recognize you. And as you can see here, I have a couple of applications that I created. And then here I have my list of client IDs. Again, if you are familiar with auth, that's just creating the coordinates for your app. In this case, we use them both for auth, but also for the single sign-on, since the service principle is the same for both. So here, typically, you would create a new tenant ID, a new client ID, and I'm running out of time, so I'm not doing it, but it's very straightforward. You give a name. Here you put the host where you are dealing with. Localhost would be the case. And then you have your app redirect URL, which why I'm developing would be localhost and the port number that IIS Express gave me. But then before I go in production, I'll want to put the return URL of the actual production. All very straightforward. And then if I look at the application in itself, then here there is a set of things that I need to add. And I'll just describe them at high level. First, instead of having only one trusted tenant in my config, I now have a database of tenants. And every time somebody comes back from a consent, I add a new tenant to this database. So that substantially, I know how to validate incoming tokens saying, yes, not only you are coming from Windows Azure Active Directory, but you are also in one of my customers. And that's done basically here. And this is just a sample, of course. In a real system, you'd use a serious database. Here we are using a flat file. Then, of course, you need the graph interface, which is just, how to say, saving all the things that you would do by doing add reference to the OData service. So you can also do it from scratch. But here, for commodity, we have it also here. Then you have this thing, which we call the config-based SAML 2 security token handler. Now I have to get a bit more technical. What happens is that Windows Identity Foundation has out-of-the-box logic for telling if a token is good for your app or not good. Now, that logic out-of-the-box just looks at who signed that token. And in this case, all the tokens are signed by the multi-tenant infrastructure, always with the same key, regardless of if you are Contoso or if you are Fabrica. So in order to tell Contoso and Fabrica apart, you need to add one little extra step in which, substantially, when you receive this token, you just take a look at the issuer. And when I say little step, I mean it. Like, this is all you need to do substantially. Here I am overriding this validator token in which I call the base, and then I just go in the token, I look at the assertion, I see if the tenant, which is the caller, is a part of my customer database, and if it is, I'm happy. So it's really small, and we'll take steps for making this super straightforward for you. We'll probably package this in a NuGet package. It will be the smallest NuGet package you have seen in your entire life, but we'll make it super easy for you. And then there is this thing, which right now is the way in which we manage the consent, in which when you click on that link and this link comes back, right now that link comes back to the return URL of your app. So any call to your app might be a consent coming back. So for the time being, we needed to have a handler which looks at all the requests. In the future, we might move it to something in which you have a specific return URL for that flow, so you don't need to have an entire handler. You might have just a controller, for example. And substantially here, we just look at the query string. If a query string contains a tenant and it contains a consent equal granted, we say, OK, fantastic. It's the moment to actually save these things in my list. And that's pretty straightforward. And now, here I would normally explain in details, but I see that you are kind of tired, so I don't want to impose on you. So I'll just go straight to the last demo of a session, which is a demo based on an experiment, like some experimentation we are doing with Box. Are you guys familiar with the Box company? Yep. Yes, no? Yeah, they are basically giving you a secure sharing on the cloud, which is pretty great. And we did this application with them, in which substantially we pretty much use almost all the features that we have, in which we are integrating with a SAML endpoint. We are using these the differential queries. And here I have one little console app which shows how we can actually hit the endpoints of a specific tenant that I have configured in here. And I get continually a list of all the users. And then as soon as, I have to say, something changes, I will actually get only the delta. So we'll see that in a moment. Like as it starts, we'll see that stuff that will start populating. OK. So here, let me just, how to say, go to one tenant. And let me create a new user. Let's say that this tenant is a customer of Box. Let me go on the various users, and let me create, myself. OK. So I'm creating a user. No. OK, fantastic. Let me do Control F5, which perhaps we'll have more luck. Let me go back in here. I create a user. I need a location. Antarctica sounds interesting. I don't want any of that stuff for the time being. I don't want a mail. And so here, OK, good. Funny story. Sometimes when you create those random passwords, those passwords become words that actually mean something. They are not always nice words. So during development, and now I was terrified it would say something really, really wrong. Luckily, it didn't happen. So let me go on. Now, I created this user. And let me go see what happened here. Fantastic. Before dying, this guy did his duty and get all the list of my users, and then started synchronizing and finding that nothing changed. Yep. Let me start it again. And then let me show you what happens in here. I landed in Box. Box is now integrated with Windows Azure Active Directory, so I can actually sign in. But I should have signed in as a different user, as the user that I just created. So let me go and grab the coordinates. OK. I'm now signing in as a new user. And what I'm going to demonstrate is exactly what I said at the very beginning, that organization applications need these kind of features for dealing with resources. Yeah, of course, here I have to, since it's the very first time that I enter, I have to set a new application, which shows that our policies are enforceable. What happened here? Yep, it's a real classic. Yeah, fantastic. So I am already out of time, and for some reason, this our console is not collaborating. So I will tell you what would have happened, and then if you come later at my at the brain box or whatever they call, we'll actually go through this, and maybe I will be able to get somebody to make it work. But what would have happened is that I would have created this user, created a document under this folder, and then deleted the user, and you would have seen the document to show up in the folder of his manager. So that instead of being lost forever, we would have had access to that. So everything was fine, and of course, the last one. But just in closing, I hope that you'll manage to see that all visiting our various Christmas past, present, and future, in which you buy an application, you build an application for your own tenant, or you want to sell application to others, we now offer solutions that are very, very easy to use, very viable. And we did all this by projecting a directory in the cloud in a way that is compatible with the workloads that you have for the cloud. So if you guys have questions, I'll be happy to field them pretty much for the rest of the day. Please download our preview and have fun with it. Thank you.